And now, the disclaimer. The topics heard on Into Your Body is primarily meant for mature audiences and is not intended for more sensitive listeners. The suggestions offered on this show are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or other malady. Discretion has been advised. And now, enjoy the show. This is Into Your Body, episode 7, according to the number count on our main page on Buzzsprout.com, which is the home of this show, which is blossomed. This podcast has now blossomed into now a radio show, thanks to the generosity of KEPW. Thank you very much, KEPW. Anyway, let's get on with the show. I'm DJ.
I'm Sam.
And this is Into Your Body. So, thank you everybody for supporting the show. And thank you everybody for listening to the show. Today's topic is sexual myths. There's a whole bunch of sexual myths that need to be debunked, Sam.
Yes, there are. Quite a few.
Mm-hmm. What's the first one? What's the biggest one? What's the first one?
That size is important.
Talk about big, for example.
Yeah, talk about big things. Yeah. You know what they say about boys with big feet? They need really big shoes.
I have no idea where that came from. Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure. Used to be a wives' tale that big hands, big feet equaled big penis. Doesn't necessarily mean that.
How'd you find that out?
I've looked around. I've been around the block a time or two.
Okay. I mean, there has to be a story where you found somebody who was, like, you know, very tall, very lanky, and you probably got scared.
Well, I wasn't scared. I don't think scared would be the right adjective there. I think it would be more like I was debunking the theory, I guess.
Debunking? Trying to prove something? Were you trying to prove something?
No. What is the word? I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked, and it was not true.
Okay. You had to prove it. For science.
For science.
For science. We had to find out just for sure. Was this real or not?
But then also there was the tall, skinny guy who was huge. So, you know.
What do you mean by huge?
I mean by huge.
How long?
Like about the size of my forearm.
And how long is your forearm?
Good 11, 12 inches.
That's a
huge.
And that's pretty long.
That's painful.
But the concept that size doesn't matter. I mean,
well, how did I find that out? Well, remember the guy the size of my forearm? Yeah, I made that mistake.
Yeah,
bigger is not necessarily better. Sometimes it's just painful.
Okay, so let's work at this. First myth, and writing this down, myth being number one, this one about size, this whole thing about size. So myth A, bigger is better, or something that communicates bigger, like some version of bigger is better, or because you have a bigger arm, that means you probably have a bigger member or bigger hands, and what does bigger promise? What kind of social conditioning were men told, people who identified as male, who like to use their penis for sexual congress, what were they told about how big meant better?
They've heard it not from women, but from other men. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the typical, and I'm going to just say it this way, dick measuring contest. You know, mine's bigger than yours, so therefore I'm better. Yeah, no.
I'm wondering if it has maybe something to do with the hunting gathering nature of men.
I assume, yeah.
Where I'm thinking that, you know, men all having to, you know, look forward and be
aside. I killed each the bigger other. Deer. I killed the bigger elk. I killed the bigger this. I brought in more. Therefore, I am superior.
Possibly, if you can bring in more kill,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're able to feed your community, your tribe, more easily. Because remember, yeah. everyone was split up into this is my group and this is my group.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the origin of this particular myth, but it's just not true. Especially when you consider the fact that the vagina is only 3.5 inches long.
That's not a lot of room.
You don't need a whole lot of penis to fill that part up. Oh. Otherwise, you're just into the gut cavity.
Okay, so again, it comes back down to why do we think it was more important for some men to have or to brag about having one long member than another person does? I'm thinking it whips back to the idea that bigger is better. I'm more of a man than you. Mm-hmm. I don't have to try as hard to please my woman.
But there's the fallacy.
No pun intended. Where's the fallacy? No pun intended.
Yes. Where's the fallacy? I don't have to try. Because I have a big penis, she will be satisfied. No. Not so much. It's just not true. There are certain stimulations that a woman needs in order to have an orgasm. Emotional stimulation, clitoral stimulation, and basically G-spot stimulation. Otherwise, there's really not any orgasm.
Now, here comes the next question, and it makes sense to ask this to someone who is the owner of a vagina. Is it possible for a penis to accomplish all three at once?
All by itself?
Yes.
No. How is a penis going to give you the emotional excitement you need? It's just a penis.
So busting another myth.
Mm-hmm.
Which again comes back down to size, satisfaction. It's not just a physical thing.
No, it's not just a physical thing.
It could be. I mean, it couldn't be just, you know, tab A, slot B, just put the penis inside the vagina and just go back and forth several times. That's, you would think, being told by the lie. Again, some lies told to you through certain media. Wants you to believe that that's all that's needed to please a woman. So just have the right size, the right length, the right girth, move back and forth a couple of times. Doesn't quite work that way. No. There's more work that has to be done to that, doesn't it?
Yes, really and truly there is.
Take care of the woman the way it's needed. Yeah. And we've had that discussion, I think, a little bit before.
Yeah, I'm sure we have.
Somewhere. We can have the discussion again, Carson.
I'm good with it. We can talk about it all day.
Often. Size. So, size is not important as far as being able to satisfy. So, let's bust that myth.
Well, there are some cases. Like, I knew a guy who wasn't much bigger than my thumb. And was also a little three-stroke engine. So, yeah, that was less than satisfactory.
So, again, we're back to size. Okay, so girth is not that important.
Girth is lovely, but it's not that important.
And length is not important.
Length can be really painful, so it's not that important.
What would be the ideal length and girth for a penis to just satisfy anything? Because because men are bombarded by so much information coming at them saying that what they have isn't enough. make it bigger so that, or make it last longer. All these different pills or all these different devices in order to make
to a man's penis a longer. Woman.
To think that that would be able to satisfy a woman because they think that your little thing isn't big enough or useful enough.
Well, like I said, the vagina is about 3.5 inches long. The actual vagina. The G-spot is about halfway through that. So if you have the average size penis, about 5.5 inches, perfection.
Okay.
It works because it's hitting the right areas. It's filling the thing up. Good to go. But there's so much more to orgasm than just fucking.
Okay, tell me more.
There needs to be, like I said, that emotional, mental turn on before even the, well, shoot. Okay, this is just for me. I can't say for anybody else. But for me, I have to be emotionally stimulated before I'm going to be turned on sexually.
All right, I think there's some science that actually back you up. Going to the website here from the American Sexual Health Association, there's a little article there about myths and facts about sex. Going down, pun not intended here, to a section, sex and sexuality. Here's one myth that we just touched on. Most women won't have an orgasm through vaginal sex only, which is actually true. About 30% of women reach orgasm through vaginal sex only. The other 70% need more manual or oral stimulation to achieve orgasms.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, until they learn to focus all of their energy in a 4x4 cube, they're going to need a little more than just plain sex.
Exactly. And going back to what we were talking about earlier about size, just right underneath that, the average penis size is about 5 to 6 inches. So busting that myth right there. Yeah. That the ideal, again, lies that we tell ourselves, you know, men also suffer from being lied to in the media.
Oh, yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Just perpetuates a bunch of crap as well. The average penis size, 5 to 6 inches. There you have it. According to the Kinsey Institute, the average erect penis length of U.S. males is between 5 to 6 inches, and average, that is not erect, between 1 and 4. And that's it.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what particular color your skin is either.
That is also true. Also, here's another thing. If one's penis is longer than what was talked about, it does not mean it's abnormal. That means, you know, we're saying average, you know, like a ballpark around most people around there. But there's always going to be some that will trend a little longer, some shorter. But what you have is what you have, and you need to love it for what it is.
And work with it.
Yes. Be kind to it as well. Next, here's one that I get all the time, and this is one that's seen everywhere, and so much so that some other sexologists out there no longer talk about it because it's such a tiresome topic. However, again, in the age of information, there's still some crap being shared out there. So here's my favorite one. Anal sex makes you gay. Obviously, that is a myth.
Anal sex makes me gay?
For men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see, there's a myth right there. And one that actually, it's disrespectful. And it's also untrue. But it also leads to an idea that certain type of people have certain types of sex. Which is, which leads to a whole bunch of other sexual myths that need to be burst through
right.
alone. Like certain right. type of people can only have certain type of sex. And then if you're of this demographic, then you can only have sex this way. If you are of another demographic, then you have to have sex in a different way, but not in that way.
Close your eyes, dear, and think of England.
Very much so. Not this time, not this time. So no. Here's one. Okay, so let's take this concept a bit further. I believe that there is no such thing as a type of sex one cannot have.
I agree.
Regardless of how you identify yourself.
Yeah, I agree. Because, well, let's face it. Anal sex is the thing, whether you're giving or receiving, and it doesn't really matter if you're giving or receiving, because if you're a male, you have a particular, what's that word? Gland, that when stimulated increases your orgasmic pleasure, and it happens to be closest or most easily stimulated in the anus.
Yeah, now that gland you're talking about is called the prostate gland.
Yes.
And that gland is basically located in the area between the anus and the end of the penis, right where the testes, the sac where the testes are held.
Yeah, right there in the taint, but up.
Sam, I was trying not to say that.
Yeah, well, you know me.
Yeah, but okay, so... The way to access that is through the anus.
Yep.
That is the best way. You can actually, you know, also stimulate it by rubbing upon the perineum,
yep.
which is the proper name for what you call the taint.
The taint.
The perineum, by stimulating that. But the best way to achieve that is right through the anus. Now, inside the male body, the prostate gland acts in the same way as the Grafenberg spot inside the female as far as sexual stimulation and pleasure mm-hmm. is concerned. So I think we kind of explained it more or less through
yeah,
this well, way.
I guess.
So.
Any questions? Write them down. We'll answer them.
Well, if you have any way to correct us for this or any way that we can explain this better, please drop us a line at intoyourbodypodcast@gmail.com if you don't mind. Also, hit us up on Facebook, Into Your Body Podcast.
Yes.
And also Twitter, @IntoYourBody1. That's the number one.
Where were we?
I think this is a good spot to take a break, don't you think?
Okay.
All right, so let's take a break here and do a station ID.
Okay.
And then we'll be back with more of Into Your Body.
Okay, what's our next myth to bust?
Oh, here's one. This one was actually shared on our Facebook page, Into Your Body Podcast. One that says, that has a title, Sex is a Key Part of Life for People Over 65. And that's a recent study that came through University of Michigan. Dr. Erica Soloway from the University of Michigan, involved in research, says, quote, "We recognize that sex and sexual health is something that is very important to the health and well-being of older people, but is not something that gets a lot of attention," end quote. That's true. And that is that university's national poll on healthy aging. And that study was funded by Michigan Medicine and AARP, and it involved 1,000 participants aged 65 through 80. So we're talking about senior citizens here.
Yep.
So that leads to the end of another sexual myth. Sex is not for, quote, old people. End quote.
I'm verging on old people, and let me tell you what.
Well, tell me what.
Sex is not for old people.
You think the media is telling us one story and reality is telling us another story?
I think that we are such a youth-centered culture that we've forgotten that youth is a fleeting thing.
Okay.
And we've forgotten that we're going to be old a lot longer than we were young.
All right.
So maybe we should think about what kind of things older people like. I know I didn't even learn what kind of pervert I was until I was 40.
You know, people keep saying that no one really knows who they are until they get older.
Yeah.
And then once they get older, they realize, oh, wait, I know who I am. I'm more comfortable in my body. This is who, yeah. This is who I am. I like this.
This is me. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. And there's no BS involved. They just like yep. their bodies. They just get so comfortable into it.
We stop caring what other people think, pretty much. I mean, we still care, but it's not the end all. Like, when I was a teenager, I would worry so much about the way I looked. Everything had to be perfect, or I wasn't leaving the house.
Oh, no. But now...
And now I'm like, is my hair combed? Okay.
Well, some actually still care. I think some care, but they care in a different way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I care, but I don't care.
I care.
Yeah.
I mean, I care. I mean, how I dress myself differently now... It's different than how I looked upon myself previously. Once I started, learning how to embrace myself, my own sexuality, and how I like to present myself into the world, and actually enjoying it, and then putting myself into an environment where I'm allowed to be who I am, allowed me to be me, then it's like, okay, I'm actually thinking, I'm liking this person. And, being it, and I think changing that mindset was key to, for me, I was able to lose weight, for one.
Right.
And I was able to live a healthier life. I was able to, pick up things like yoga and walking and, like, actually being outside, enjoying myself right. and enjoying my body. And I'm learning that now, being a little bit past that age where everything is supposed to be youth and sex, try this type of body spray, eat this type of food, chew this type of gum, use this type of toothpaste, use these type of gym shoes, and all the honeys will flock to you.
Right.
That's leading to more of the lies of, youth and sex and image and sex and, basically the rejection of yourself.
Exactly.
For an ideal.
Exactly.
That's created by someone who actually has no interest in you as a person, but's more interested in selling soap.
Right.
And so that keys into, in my opinion, how that person who's looking at that ad is saying, okay, I see. Sex stops the second I turn 30.
Yeah, clearly it does not.
Mm-hmm. It does not.
No.
Because what happens? No, you'd want it better because you grow up. You know more about yourself. You know about your body. You know more about how it works and how it's...
Right.
Yeah. You mm-hmm. like yourself more.
You know more about how to keep certain things from happening, like pregnancies, STDs, and also you know what you want. And you're not afraid to say so, which is a big help.
That's... Yeah. I think it's important to know that the older I get, the more I've learned it's better to be comfortable in my body and to accept it for what it is.
Yes.
And then once I was able to do that and accept it, then the sex got better. Feeling pleasure got better. If I wasn't guilty about it. I didn't feel any guilt.
Right.
There's no more guilt. The guilt was just... There's no more guilt. It's gone.
And I'll tell you, after menopause, I don't have to worry about getting pregnant anymore, ever. I mean, I didn't for a long time, but on a regular basis, women who suddenly don't have that fear of getting pregnant, well, all of a sudden, sex becomes more about fun. than procreation. So that's why they say that men peak in their teens, which is not true, and women peak in their 40s. And it's because women are starting, their bodies are starting to slow down the ovulation process, etc. They're not as worried about getting pregnant.
And of course, with men, because their hormones are so turned on by the time that they're 17, you know, it's the peak of their seminal output, one way or another.
Well, okay, fine.
Men, for men, it's the peak of like, I have to get it out, I have to get it out, I have to get it out for some weird reason. You know, that's the peak of that. And I tied to, oh my gosh, we have to do this so that way the species can propagate, so that it's tied into the human survival instincts,
right?
Because there used to be a time that 40 was it. You lived until you were 40, and 40 was the cutoff time.
Man, if you lived till you were 60, you were an ancient.
I know. People living through their 70s, 80s, 90s, it's a recent thing due to advancements in science and health and in medicine. But naturally, human beings are supposed to be done at age 40. That's why, you know, the concept of teen pregnancy to us is so foreign. But really, it's been going on forever.
Yeah, it's a genetic
thing. That's how the human species was able to survive. And that's like, wait, is this an irresponsible thing? It's like, no, it's an irresponsible thing because we have now taken the teen years and then lumped them in with children. And that's why a lot of the sexual information about how our bodies work, how our bodies are supposed to work, you know, what is ovulation, what is estrogen, what is that does to a body that has that reproductive system, what happens to a body when they have a testosterone testicular-based system, what happens to a body that, what turns, and then what desires are affected.
Right.
No one knows that. And that's tied in to must have more babies. I don't know why.
Because we must go forth and populate the world. We are sexual beings.
But does having children mean we're having sex?
Well, one would assume you did have sex at least once if you're having children.
Does that prove virility, or does that prove you just, you know, that more people to, you know, work on the farm come summertime?
That means that basically you're both ripe at the same time. That's what that means. Does not necessarily prove virility. I don't even like that word, virility.
That's a hard word to say to begin with.
Well, yeah, and just, I'm so virile. Whatever.
But that doesn't mean once you stop wanting to have kids, you know, the ability to have sex, the ability to want to have a desire for your partner ends with it.
Oh, absolutely not.
You said that earlier yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop with the want to have children. Sex doesn't stop with, you know, not wanting to have kids or wanting to have kids or having kids.
I've been unable to have children for 24 and a half years now. If I had stopped having sex because I was no longer able to have children, well, first off, I'd feel sorry for everyone around me because I would be a raging cow. But, I mean, really, I'd have wasted more than half my life.
Mm-hmm. And again, sex doesn't have to have anything to do with having kids.
Nope.
We know that ourselves. We're not the only species on Earth that has sex for pleasure.
That's true.
And that will do it for part one of Dispelling Sexual Myths here on Into Your Body. Sam and I will come back next week to talk more. Into Your Body is copyright 2018, a DJ B Sundress Company production with your producers and hosts, Sam and DJ. Come visit us on our website at intoyourbody.buzzsprout.com. And if you're interested in making your own podcast, you can also get some help from Buzzsprout. They can help you for as little as nothing to get your podcast to the masses. Just go to buzzsprout.com. We're also available at all the other podcasts. usual places that you can hear podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and also on Stitcher, where you can hear some of the world's greatest podcasts ever made. That's at Stitcher.com. Visit us on social media. You can find us at Into Your Body Podcast on Tumblr and on Facebook. And if you're looking for us on Twitter, just type in at Into Your Body One. That's the number one to hook up with us online. And if you want to send us a message, please send us an email at IntoYourBodyPodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to the show on good old-fashioned radio on KEPWLPFM 97.3 in Eugene, or catch us online at KEPW.org every Saturday night at midnight. So for Sam, this is DJ. Come back next week. Tell all your friends about this show. And most importantly, don't forget to masturbate. Bye-bye. Coming up next time on Into Your Body.
But if they're not coming, that's not a reflection on you, is it?
But that's what everyone is told. You know, everything was fine, and then someone starts doing some weird stuff that they don't like. That's next time on Into Your Body.